This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
She's done us dirty.
How so?
Oh, God. Look at how she's done Trump. I'm a Trump fan. I'm sorry.
So she lost your vote because of her role on the January 6th committee and what she's doing about Trump?
Yes. She's supposed to be supporting him. She's a Republican, for crying out loud.
I find her work on the January 6th committee just repulsive.
How do you feel about her work on the January 6th committee and her role?
It's all a hoax. It's all propaganda. Has nothing to do with anything. It's a witch hunt.
Well, she says she's defending what's important to people here in Wyoming, upholding the rule of law, defending the Constitution.
If that was the rule of law, why doesn't he have a defense team in that courtroom? That ain't the rule of law. That's a kangaroo court. That's not the Wyoming way.
That's not the Wyoming way. Well, the Wyoming voters are going to have the opportunity to cast a ballot today and to figure out whether or not Liz Cheney's still going to be able to represent them in Congress. That was a CNN interview from the beginning of August. And they're going around trying to find different people from Wyoming to talk to. And Liz Cheney, not very popular.
She has been an embarrassment. It's a witch hunt.
Are you proud of her for taking on Donald Trump?
No.
Here in Cheyenne, more than 1,600 miles from Washington, D.C., almost everyone we spoke with told us they believe Liz Cheney is too focused on Donald Trump and the January 6th committee and not paying enough attention to what they believe matters to the people here in Wyoming.
So, you know, the Liz Cheney, Donald Trump, this is probably as close as those two are ever going to get facing off against one another. I guess there's a possibility that if there were a Republican primary in 2024, which obviously there will be, maybe, Brad, we could see this in an actual on the ballot Donald Trump, Liz Cheney.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that's interesting to me about this is the state that she lives in. That's a terrible battlefield to fight this battle on. She's basically in Trump country, and she's like, you know what? I'm going to take him on, and I'm going to show him. She might have more luck if she were in a state like Maryland, Pennsylvania, something like that, but good grief. But we could see her on a ballot.
Very good question, though. Is Liz Cheney's job to fight that battle if it doesn't represent her constituents?
Well, I think her job title is Representative Liz Cheney.
What do you mean by that?
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Representative. And it, but in that line, that title says representative. It does say R, which is the indicator she's representing Republicans, but it also says of the district of Wyoming. Isn't Wyoming one district?
That I'm not familiar with.
I think she is. So if you are somebody who is in the state of Wyoming and you get to cast your vote today and you get to cast it for or likely against Liz Cheney, You're asking yourself, does she represent me? What if the 435 people in the House of Representatives all went there to represent what was best for the people in their district? I wonder if less would get done or more. Maybe less. Maybe that's not a bad thing.
I would agree with that 100%. I don't think sending somebody into government to do, quote unquote, do something is good. Only do things if it's effective, if it's helpful. Otherwise, stay out of it. I sent a tweet out this morning and I was just like, I don't know that government has any solutions, at least the federal government, any solutions that don't involve spending money. Because every time you look at anything that we're going to fix inflation by spending more money, we're going to fix this. We're going to assign billions of dollars to this. I think a less or slower working government is a better thing than people give it credit for. I think the slowness of government is by design. It's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, I'm... If you're a voter in the state of Wyoming, the law stipulates parties can conduct open primaries for congressional seats, also state level offices, and a voter has to be affiliated with a political party in order to vote in the primary election. But any voter, regardless of previous partisan affiliation, can change his or her affiliation on the day of the primary. Is there a strong, significant amount of Democrats in Wyoming that would want to invest in keeping Liz Cheney on the ballot?
I think there's a strong coalition of Democrats that would want to keep Harriet Hageman, did I say that right? Hageman, off of the ballot. I think that they like what Liz Cheney's doing only to be a thorn in Trump's side. But I think, you know, once Trump is no longer in the picture, they're going to remember how conservative Liz Cheney actually is.
Wyoming has 581,348 people in it. Total.
Okay.
581,000, just a hair over. St. Louis, for comparison, has 304,709. So St. Louis is 60%. St. Louis, just hear us, is 60% of the entire state of Wyoming, which is a congressional district, but also bordered by the state boundaries. So Liz Cheney is representing everybody in Wyoming. She represents 501,000 people, or 581,000 people, I should say. I am interested to see how this shakes out. I also wonder how, if you were a Democrat in Wyoming and you wanted to put Liz Cheney on the ballot, would that make it easier to beat in the general? Would Liz Cheney being the Republican candidate, first of all, let me just say, I don't think she's going to win tonight.
Right.
But I'm saying, if you are a Democrat in Washington or in Wyoming, excuse me, and you can, on the day of the primary, pull a Republican or a Democrat ballot for the primary, I could see how pulling a Republican ballot and voting for Liz Cheney and having her win the nomination would make it easier for the Democrat who's running to beat her in the general. Just thinking out loud.
I mean, I can't think of a better way of deflating, Republican enthusiasm
nationwide
than to vote for somebody like Liz Cheney in that state.
If Liz Cheney won in Wyoming, it would affect the Republican Party on a greater scale nationwide than it would in Wyoming. Because the other thing that doesn't ever get talked about, because this is what Liz Cheney has done to her legacy. Her legacy is 100% completely and totally adhered to Donald Trump. She voted for Donald Trump stuff all the time. She couldn't vote from a voting record. She's very conservative.
90%+.
Yeah. She's somebody who is a conservative, and if we're talking on policy base, she's a very conservative Republican. So if you send her, this is going back to the original question, if you send Liz Cheney back to Congress, is she going to represent in a Republican majority? Is she going to help push the ball forward for Republican and conservative values? She actually is. Unless She prioritizes her own vendetta and mission and focus and goal if she prioritizes what she wants over what the people of Wyoming who sent her to be in Congress want. And, you know, anecdotally speaking, from a package put together by CNN. So I'd imagine if CNN could have made Liz Cheney look good walking around talking to people, they'd have done it. Like, that's where you're going to go to get people go, Liz Cheney is the fighter this country needs. You know, if CNN could have made that happen, they would have mustered up the people. Like muster, like past tense, not like mustard. I'm thinking around with yellow mustard. I'm an idiot. They would have been able to come up with the individuals to make Liz Cheney look like the Republican Party that Nancy Pelosi always says that she wishes would be back in place. Shut up. Ugh. Nancy Pelosi, like the Republicans of the old days. Well, you would know about the old days, old lady. Like, you were there. I wasn't. The Republican Party is what it is today because the Republican Party of old was the way they were. We have gotten to this point. And I would say this, too. Democrats, you made Donald Trump. You gave the Republican Party Donald Trump. And you ran Hillary and made people all across the country go, no, not her. I'm not with her. And now we have Donald Trump, and now he's at the epicenter of every political conversation that ever happens. I just said to Brad before the show starts, I am so tired and annoyed with this news. Every day, Brad, you go through and you look for sound to pull for the show. We play the sound, and it's just the same stuff because we don't have any answers. And the fact that we have the same questions every day, followed by the same lack of answers every day, makes that story important when the FBI is going to storm into Donald Trump's private residence. I read today that he had a vacation planned and that the fact that he didn't have his passports like almost upset his vacation plans. I know that that makes lots of people really sad for him. He couldn't go on vacation. But the whole, like, every detail that develops with this story leads to more questions and leads to more people going, I don't think this is what you needed to do to get the information that you believed you had a right to get. And every day that goes by and people don't have the smoking gun that says that's why they went into Mar-a-Lago. Does Donald Trump grow bigger and stronger? Isn't it Hydro where you cut off a head and like three grow back?
Two grow back in its place.
Not two. Inflation.
Yeah, you need a Hercules.
It's three now.
To burn it so that it seals it off and they can't grow back. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't really want Donald Trump to be Hydra.
No.
Not really the right angle, at least I think mythologically speaking. The YouTube live chat poll today has to do with all of this. And I really want to know what you think about this and the direction this is heading. Because as I said to Brad, and Brad kind of confirmed back, the story is getting old and stale because we're not getting any answers. And if I don't want to come onto the show every day and be like, can you believe what the FBI did at Mar-a-Lago? Oh, my gosh. Shock and awe and rage. Ugh, I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of it. It's exhausting. Will the Trump FBI raid backfire on Democrats? That is the YouTube live chat poll today. If you type in on YouTube, if you just type in Annie Fry, F-R-E-Y, Annie Fry live stream or whatever it is, you'll see. We're live right now. Hello to the people watching. And then you can vote in the live chat section on what you think. Will the Trump FBI raid backfire on Democrats? You have three options to choose from. Yes, Trump will be stronger than ever. No, Trump will be found guilty. Or no, nothing bad happens to the Democrats. I'm not 100%. I think there are going to be two that are neck and neck.
I think so.
I think it's also true that you could have, yes, Trump will be stronger than ever, no, Trump will be found guilty, and no, nothing bad happens to them all at the same time. So you got to pick one. The president's going to sign his Inflation Reduction Act into law today. We're just lamenting over whether or not we want to play that for you. I can imagine how riveting that would sound on the radio. We're going to watch and see when he signs it. If he does take questions and probably bring the questions and answers to you, if I were advising President Biden, I would tell him not to take questions. I would say, no, don't do that. Shuffle out of the room as fast and safely as you possibly can with, like, they got arrows taped on the floor for him to, which is like a Pac-Man path. Just full of only right angles.
People standing, waving him the whole along
yes.
the way.
Yes. Easter Bunny lurking behind. So we'll pay attention to that. It's supposed to happen at 1:30. But at 1:25, speaking of the Inflation Reduction Act, instead of bringing you President Biden and whatever he's going to say about how this doesn't reduce inflation, we're going to talk to Steve Moore about that and get the latest from him on the increase of agents at the IRS, what average Americans can expect from what we know to be pistol-packing IRS agents. Isn't it ironic that the same political party that has power at all levels of federal government, the same political party that just said we will reduce inflation by passing this bill, we will increase the IRS by 87,000 agents that are carrying weapons. Oh, and also we would like to implement gun control and take your guns away. No. Just flat out. N-O, no. We're going to take a quick break. Jim Carafano with us at 105. Stephen Moore at 125. Wiggins America at 1245. And more discussion here. I'm going to ask Brad to answer that poll question when we come back. And I'll tell you what I think as well. You get on there and answer it on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. And if you'd like to leave a comment, Hannah reads a few of those at the end of the show. You can potentially be highlighted by commenting right now. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
But now we can confirm that the First Lady has tested positive for COVID.
Mm-hmm. Understandable, since her husband had COVID, obviously a close contact. It's a highly contagious variant. She is going to remain in South Carolina at a private residence. She will return to Washington after she has two consecutive negative tests.
Two consecutive negative tests, and then she can come back to Washington. What happens when she has positive tests the next day after that? Because has President Biden tested negative yet? I don't even know if he's out of the woods.
I think he did test negative eventually, but
I was just thinking just yesterday that at least here at work, we are functioning like normal human beings again. And that is a very, very good, welcome thing. There was definitely a time where I asked myself, I think most people were asking themselves, are we ever going to go back to normal? And there was like, oh, you're going to go back to the new normal. And well, screw that. Like, that's no. Again, N-O, no. But when you go to a Cardinals game, we went to the Friday night game last weekend. It was a great game. We won. It was exciting to watch. Goldschmidt, Arenado both hit home runs. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I realized, whoa, there's 45,000 people just sitting here watching a baseball game, not thinking about COVID, thank God. We're back. And it's heartwarming to know that I've done multiple things like that and not thought about COVID. I still get, I don't know like what kind of COVID hangovers you might have, Brad, but I despised wearing masks in Walmart or wherever it might be that I was going in. And I, for the duration of, in Illinois, mask required was so much longer than Missouri and so many other places. I don't know if, I feel like Hawaii lowered their mask requirements before we did. And I'm like, what the heck? Hawaii, I'm going there. Make it so. But I still have this apprehension when I'm walking into the store, like, am I going to put the mask on? Am I not going to put the mask on? And I didn't wear the mask very much to begin with. As who was it? Ryan was telling the story about meeting some people and they would go into the store and they'd be like, are we going to Annie Fry it? Which is to go in and say, I'm not going to put my mask on. I have my mask in my pocket. If somebody asks me to put it on, I will respectfully oblige and not make a scene about it. But you have to ask me to put it on. I'm not going to do that. And there, so there was the moment, there was the, I don't know, in Illinois, it would have been at least a year, right? Where you had just had to wear a mask inside.
Yeah, at least, at the very least.
I mean, it started in March 2020. It wasn't until spring of 2021 where they took masks off kids in schools.
Yeah.
And they didn't even do that. They had to lose in court and be challenged by, if people wouldn't have stood up, if the so many of those people were right here on the Metro East side of the river who joined a challenge of parents across the state who said, knock it off. If they wouldn't have challenged it, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we were starting school this year with masks on our kids. But you, if you're like me and you hated wearing the masks in our household, it really just turned into my husband being the one who would just go in the store. I just wouldn't go in the store. He would make the trip in. Because I certainly wasn't going to put masks on all my kids to go into Walmart or Target or wherever it was that we were shopping, a grocery store. I just wasn't doing it. So we would, instead of us all going in the store together, I'd sit in the car with the kids and he'd go in. And, you know, he kind of made his own personal choices, too, as to whether or not he'd put the mask on. I don't know when he stopped, just altogether stopped doing it. But I still, if I'm running into Target or something, I still kind of get that moment each time where I'm like, oh, I don't have to wear a mask. Still, I don't know if other people experience that, but it just it took so long and I hated it so much when it was existing.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, I'm, as I've said on here before, I was the type of person, I was kind of a pioneer in my area where I would just choose to put the mask in my pocket instead of on my face and wait to be asked, and like hardly ever got asked and would visibly see people take their masks off their face when they saw me.
Yeah. I would do that, too. I'd just throw it in my pocket, and it's like, I'm not going to make a scene.
Yeah.
But you're going to request it of me.
Yeah.
I don't have that feeling, like, because, you know, that was kind of my attitude, was I don't want to put a mask on. And then I walk in. I never had that apprehension about wearing a mask whenever I walk in. I was just going to let somebody else make that decision for me. But the thing that gets me, the little hangover thing that I still have is like, whenever I hear somebody cough.
Oh.
And it's not like, because
why do you want everybody to die?
It was just in the background, you know. Yeah. It was just background noise before COVID. And now after COVID, it that's the only thing that makes me go, huh?
It's the worst when you swallow wrong.
Oh, I know.
And you're like, huh, and you gotta tell everybody, I just swallowed wrong. It's just spit in my throat. It's not. It's just spraying my germs all over everywhere. But they're not. They're regular germs. They're not COVID germs.
They're not even germs. They're healthy. So good.
You're living a life now where people understand that COVID exists, and this is the peak of the mountain that we have been climbing. You now expect other people in your life to know that if they have COVID symptoms, they should just stay home and not be coming into your place of work, into church, to the party, to school. We are now back to trusting our fellow man, and yes, I'm saying man, I'm not even changing it, our fellow man with making responsible decisions for themselves that don't have to be made for them. And folks, it still works. We don't, I just almost swallowed spit wrong again. That would have been right on time. We're not, you're not going into places, I would assume some medical facilities might still have this in place, and I understand that to whatever extent, that if you're a medical facility that is maybe working with people who could potentially be immunocompromised or whatever, that you don't want to be bringing the general public in anyway. But if you're living your life and you want to go out to eat and you want to go buy groceries or you want to go to the movies or whatever it is, I mean, you can literally buy a ticket to go sit in a movie theater where you're sitting on one half of a love seat with a stranger now. Yeah, you can do that.
I don't like to go to movies alone, so I'll do that. I'll just buy
the... You don't have to go alone. You just don't know who your love seat is.
Yeah, I find the one love seat that already has somebody that buys in it, and I'll buy the other one.
That's weird. I think that my experience in this has been that we have been back to normal for so long right now that since it feels so normal, we don't remember how weird it was when we were under these COVID mitigations. And to go back and think about it, it almost feels kind of like a flash in time. It feels like it went by so fast. But at the same time, recollect when we were going through this, wondering if we would ever get back to this moment. And I am here. This should be our diamond in the rough for this week. We're back, baby. we've arrived. We're here. And this is fantastic. And it feels so normal that sometimes we forget that it's normal again.
Yeah. There's a couple accounts on Twitter that always refresh it. Like this past weekend, I came across the accounts. Like, remember when we did this to high school bands and middle school bands? And like they had those individualized green tents that the kids would have to go in, and like there was one where it was a kid trying to play the, I think it's officially called the sousaphone, but the tuba, and he's like all like mashed down in there. And then they had a couple girls that were playing flutes with the mask cut out, but they had masks on.
So stupid.
But,
I mean, it's innovatively stupid. It's not your run of the mill ignorant dumb. It's like masterclass dumb. You came up with new ways to be dumb.
It always struck me of like how middle schoolers try to skirt the rules. Like, well, technically I'm in compliance because I have a mask on, but it's like cut out in the middle.
And that's exactly the right way to say it. In compliance. Frank says on YouTube, when you see a mask on someone today, they are pretty much just telling you who they voted for. Frank, I'm going to challenge you on that. When I see somebody with a mask on right now, I think that they're on day 6 of COVID. I just assume, I'm like, hey, you, thank you. I appreciate that. But they're out and about living their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, I know plenty of people who have had COVID over the course of time. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. And the CDC had said as of recently that from symptoms, you were supposed to keep your, from the time that you've had symptoms and tested positive, you're supposed to isolate for 5 days. And then after that, you can go back into the wild, just wear a mask for the next 5 days. And after 10 days, you should be good. So I just assume that those people are ones who are, they're kind of on the bubble. They're probably still contagious, but they probably have to lick you in order for you to get it. Mm. And you know how people are. So they so they wear a mask on to keep them from being tempted to lick other people in the grocery.
That's gross.
Yeah, super gross. Do you judge people when you see them wearing masks? Because I think that might be a little bit of a hangover thing,
the
too.
The only people that I judge are the people that are by themselves in
their
car
driving.
That's the only ones. I'm like, what are you doing?
I want people to be nice to one another. I want to advocate for kindness, but I struggle with that one too.
The other one is the people that have the mask on, but just around their chin. And that's all they do. They just have a mask on around their chin.
Do you know these people personally, or are you passing them?
I'm passing them, walking through a store, see somebody like that, and I'm just like, on or off? Pick a lane.
Still?
Yes.
If you know somebody who has a family member who is immunocompromised, there's a different level for that. And if I see somebody in the store who has a mask on, they might be on day 6 of COVID. They might be taking care of a loved one at home who is cancer, and they might be their caregiver, and they know that if they bring something, so they would do, I would do, if I were taking care of a family member who was elderly or sick or compromised for whatever reason, I would want to do anything and everything to make sure that I didn't eliminate my ability to care for those people, or even worse, potentially get something and spread it. So I could see how, like, during a cold season, you would just do that anyway. But why would you put it around your chin?
That's the one I don't understand.
And from what I understand, and it's gone back and forth so many times, that the mask thing, is it to keep you from spreading things? Is it to keep you from inhaling things? Like, I got to think that if you're wearing a mask, you're going to take in less germs than if you weren't wearing a mask. But if you're doing it, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to not spread germs or trying not to inhale germs and you're in your car by yourself, I just don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get that one either.
So, I don't know. I'd like to know what your other COVID hangover things are. Like, what kind of stuff are you still realizing? Oh, I remember that happened. But you're not still feeling the effects of it. It's not like you're still feeling the buzz of the COVID mandates that have been all over the place. Give us some comments on the live chat, and maybe we'll highlight some of those later in the show. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, when we come back, he's going to talk about the perceptions of Midwesterners. I mean, we are the awesomest people because we're so nice.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I just scooch right by you here.
Yeah. I don't. That's Northern. That's like Rob Kramer. I almost said Rob Wiggins. That would be a development. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America in studio in just a minute.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Listening to the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Right, Shell, happy that you're here with us. Appreciate you spending some time with 97.1 FM Talk. A reminder, if you're on your lunch break right now and you don't have a radio back at work, that the Odyssey app streams 97.1 FM Talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you can even rewind and start the show from noon if you so choose. We love having listeners there, and you can subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcasts. Right now, though, it's time
Wiggins.
For
Wiggins!
All right, well, here's the deal. I stumbled across... In fact, I stumbled into sound.
Shut up. he just played that before. That's from our X's and O's game, and I said I should play that before every time I play sound on this show.
And that's what I'm going to do.
You've stumbled into sound.
You have stumbled into sound. I stumbled across a viral video of a woman who moved from California to the Midwest, and she's just talking to the camera and sharing her experience of now being in the Midwest. And... she's doing the California complain thing, but all the things she's saying are generally positive about the Midwest. And I think that's kind of why it went viral, because you're going, well, what are you complaining about? So I pulled from this viral video a few different clips that I want to run past the room as all Midwesterners and get some kind of opinions, maybe some theories as to why we are this way, whether you agree with her assessment or not. So here's the first one.
So we're about, defending Midwesterners here?
In a sense.
But maybe.
But with...
maybe
yeah,
we're just like, yeah.
I have a feeling that we're going to agree with a lot of the assessments. But as to why we are this way, she has some theories, and I'll share those and we can talk about it. But so the first one is just her assessment of Midwesterners.
Which kind of brings me to the whole concept of, like, Midwesterners are super friendly. They are. Like, everyone is just so chatty and, like, relatively nice and seems to be in a generally good mood. And I think that a lot of people were like, oh, that's the culture of the Midwest. But I feel like something enables that culture.
So, that's the first clip. So she sounds like she's complaining about it.
Humanity?
Something like that. But do you agree with the fact that we are more friendly? And do you think anybody's more friendly than we are? Or are we kind of, we set the bar for the country?
Well, it's interesting because it's about perspective. I think that the Midwest is probably one of the friendliest places in the country. I think Southerners are incredibly hospitable, But they'll also tell you to bless your heart, which is the same as an expletive that the FCC won't say to me that you get when you're walking down the streets of New York City. Mm-hmm. So
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
I almost think that Midwesterners are probably the nicest and the Southerners are the most hospitable with the sass that I am envious of and their ability to deliver it in a way that makes you go, what just happened?
I think that's an interesting assessment, that they are a little bit more where they're, they won't say anything really negative mm-hmm. to you, but they will wear their opinions on their sleeve more than we will.
I don't think Southerners are trying to please people. I think Midwesterners are eager to please.
Agreed.
And Southerners are like, you will be in my home and feel welcome.
Yeah. And you will eat the food and you will like it.
Yes.
And if you don't, I will be offended. Yes. You will not be invited back. However, I still love you.
If you don't, yeah. And if you don't like the Southern way of doing things, they're not going to modify their ways.
Yes.
It's like, if you don't get the Southern thing, sucks to be you.
I want to add something to the whole Midwesterners are friendly thing. It's different in suburbs and rural versus city. Yesterday, I went to a gas station downtown St. Louis. It was some of the rudest people I've ever had serve me. And I was thinking about this at the time because I had just seen it. I thought, well, wait a minute now. Now, these people weren't friendly at all. However, most places I go are. So I think it does have something to do with whether you're in the middle of a city versus not in the middle of a city. So let me play the second one here. This is kind of her getting to why she thinks this is happening.
And that's because, like, the population is so low, but the size of the stores are, like, the same or bigger.
So that's the crux of her entire theory right there in 7 seconds, that it's because of population density, essentially. And I don't know whether I agree with that or not. However, what I just said about the cities kind of alludes to that.
No, I agree with that. I've been in New York City, and you can't move anywhere without there being people all over the place, which is why I was there for like 3.5 days, and I was like, I would like to go home now. I literally missed power lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree, too, because on our honeymoon, we went to Hawaii, and when we were in Honolulu, people were on top of you, and I get cranky. I get cranky in a crowded, like, area, let alone, like, walking around the catwalks on Busch Stadium with people there. It's like, get out of the way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, that she might be onto something there.
Okay, so here's her explanation as to the whole population density thing.
When you go get your driver's license here, the place where you go is, like, the same size as it is in California. Because this facility is serving, like 1/100th of the amount of people that the one in California is, there's no line. You don't have to schedule an appointment. You just like walk in. It's crazy. And then because the people aren't like overworked, they're not like serving 600 people that just stood in line for 6 hours to get their driver's license picture taken. The workers are in a better mood, understandably.
Man, talk about government institutions that are crappy when they're not run well.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is about that hypothesis, because I think there is something to the population density thing, just like you guys were talking about.
I would say so.
If you're crowded and you got to wait in lines and stuff, and it's annoying, and you don't want to be nice to people because you view people more as an obstacle than you do as people, because they're all around you, right? Whereas if you're driving down a rural road, somebody you see going past, you're like, oh my gosh, that's another person. They're going to wave at you because you must be in my territory. I don't ever see you. I don't even know who you are. Hi.
Everybody waves.
Exactly. So the thing is, though, when she's using this example of the driver's license and the DMV, she loses me a little bit, because what should be done with government is by population, you should have that many facilities. And apparently, the government doesn't do that. It puts the same amount of DMVs, for instance, in a low population area or generally in the Midwest as you would. You should have them every, 100 yards in LA, but they don't do that. So I think that's part of the reason why there's problems, is that it's not just population density. It's that they don't manage their population very well, because you could. And I think there are places that do, but most big cities are not doing that. And part of the reason is because they're mismanaged. They don't have the money that they should for that infrastructure. They're not using their money well.
I think it's interesting, too, to add in the factor that a lot of people who are suburban, I don't know what the percentage is, because this is very subjective on my part, but I live in a suburban area, a nice suburban area in the Metro East. It's not ritzy and fancy, but it's very nice. And I want to move to the country where there are even less people. And I think that the suburbanites, especially, you know, the area that I'm in is being built up. Like, they just feel like they got to make it bigger and bigger and taller and more, like, more. And a lot of that urban sprawl that they talk about, where they don't want people to have to get in a car and drive anywhere to get that. They want you to be able to walk to be able to get all of your needs. That is an opinion on a way to live that isn't the right opinion. It is an opinion. And you can offer that, and the more that infiltrates suburban areas, which are the opposite, not the opposite, as, but a little bit more spread out than urban areas, that even ends up having people going, I would like some more elbow room now, and less people.
Yeah, are you, though, wanting to move based just because you want more space and more serenity, or is there any politics involved in it?
What do you mean?
Are you wanting to move to an area that's a little bit less congested because you think there's a lifestyle change? Maybe not politics isn't the right word, but just that it's a lifestyle difference rather than just...
It's a huge lifestyle difference to go live out in the country. I mean, I am a Second Amendment supporter in the suburban area that I would live in, and it would be the same in the country area, except for in the country area, I would do my target shooting in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have to share fences with angry neighbors potentially, or, you know, worry about a situation where all of a sudden somebody puts like a big light in their yard, and where you had some darkness here, now you've got a light shining in your bedroom window. So like those types of things, when you live out on your own, you just control your own space.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you live in a suburban area, those things happen. That's part of it.
But there's a little bit of ideology in there where I want to control my own space. And there's ideology definitely in the migration of people who are like-minded, move to bigger cities. They want to be with people who are more left-leaning. And I think it's hard to divorce politics from some of this stuff because, like I was alluding to, when you get a whole bunch of like-minded people in the same area voting for the same types of people, they're going to manage things differently than we would out in the suburbs or in rural America.
What I'm talking about is not about politics and voting at all. That's way different than lifestyle, in my opinion.
But there is ideology in it. I mean, you were talking about just wanting to be in control of your own space more. And in the suburbs, there are more restrictions on that. And the more urban you get, the more restrictions there are on that.
But the restrictions don't have to be based on politics. There's just more people. Of course, there are more restrictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to allude to being like moving to the country is because I'm like a Republican. That's not what I'm saying.
Moving to the country.
Gonna eat a lot of peaches. Yeah. We stumbled into sound.
We have, in fact, stumbled into sound.
Jim Carafano on the Andy Fry Show. When we come back, we are going to talk about the year anniversary of the disastrous Afghanistan pullout. And then we're going to talk to Steve Moore about that Inflation Reduction Act that doesn't reduce inflation. More Andy Fry Show in a minute. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.